Well, I'm going to start today, like any good shepherd Sunday, talking about figs. We got a fig tree. Here's what happened. I am cheap, and I know that about myself, and so I look in the free section often on Nextdoor.com and Craigslist and all that kind of stuff. We happen to be at a farmer's market, not last Saturday, but the following one, or the previous one. We saw these tiny little fig trees in buckets, and I said, I'd like to grow one of those sometime. That'd be a lot of fun. It seems like a real priesty thing to do, to grow fig trees. So I told Lauren that, and she said, oh, that's nice. And we never went back to that booth. I'd say our garage looks like the Museum of Whims, because it's all these projects, and the fig tree would just be one of them. So later on, we're going to lunch. We're about to pick up lunch for the boys, and Lori is on Nextdoor.com. This time, she's looking at the free section, and she said, somebody is giving away a fig tree. How weird is that? And so I said, we got to get this thing. So we called. It says, you have to remove it. No big deal. I just saw a fig tree. They're like this tall, right? So I organize an event. I tell my brother-in-law, you know, well, I'll buy you a six-pack or something if you come and help me dig up this tree. It shouldn't take this long. I've seen them. They're short. So we get to the house. The walkway is, I mean, conservatively about this size of the aisle, okay? So imagine that. And the planter that this tree is in is about as high as these chairs and about as wide as two of these chairs. The tree is wider than I am, taller than I am, and I believe, surprisingly, weighs more than I do, okay? And the irrigation system is touching the trunk of the tree, and we didn't want to break that. And the other side of the tree is a wooden fence that we didn't want to mess with. I was already tired from moving some people this week, and now I have this tree, and this is just me. The Campanas have a family motto. Does anybody know? I've said it before. No second trips. Okay, when I go to the grocery store, I'm gonna have every bag on my arm. I'm gonna have like lines from that, because no second trips. It works spiritually too, if you think about it. But so anyway, that's my motto. We're gonna do this right now. I think my brother-in-law was looking at the tree, really kind of scared, and like, there's no way we're doing this. And I said, how about a case? I'll buy you a case. So we start to move the tree. Really heavy tree. Really crazy. And we just kind of, at some point, we're rocking this thing. And finally, we get it out of the ground. It got out of the ground. We did it. We didn't really break. Well, we didn't break much. Let's just say that. Okay, so we have the tree out of the ground. And that's when we discover that the hardest part was not getting it out of the ground, but getting it into the truck. Now, the problem was, again, the aisle was like here. The walkway was about the size of this aisle. I didn't mention that she had like air conditioning units along the way and low hanging eaves and things all along the way. And about 10 feet into this walkway, I just stopped and I looked at Brian and I said, I need an adult. I need a grown up. Have you guys ever had that moment as adults that you look around for where the grown up is? I needed a voice of reason, and by the way, it wasn't Brian, because he was just as determined as I was to get this tree into the back of my truck. But I said, I need an adult, and here I am surrounded by folks, and I just felt so alone. An adult would have said, wait and get more people, or wait, this isn't your tree yet until you put it into your truck, leave it there and walk away. But no, I needed an adult, and sorry, Brian wasn't it. He wanted to get this thing in my truck too. The lady said to me, this is my favorite part of the whole trip, though, because I'm like dripping with sweat and exhausted, and so is Brian. And she says, well, what kind of car did you bring for this? And I said, do you know those little smart cars that they have? She panicked. We finally got it into the back of my truck, and Jerry was helping me move a couple of weeks ago, and haha, you left one of your fasteners, and as a result, I've used it like six times since then. But I had like it wrapped around, but I kind of thought, like, if this tree starts to go, it's gone. I'm not putting it back in the car at that point. I'm just gonna be like, I don't even know that tree, and just keep driving. I was gonna abandon this thing on the highway if that's what it was gonna take, but it was out of the ground. We brought it home, got in the ground, and we're just praying that the leaves start to kind of fill up again. They shrivel fast, okay?
You got water in
You water it. Okay, that's what I forgot. Okay. Yeah, this. So it's a beast. Anyway, it's planted. The reason I bring this up, though, is because it really reminds me of something that struck me when we were reading our gospel. Just some wording. But to understand, I think the central focus of what the Good Shepherd reading is, I think you have to start earlier. I think you have to start in the garden, okay? You have to start in that garden when everything is so peaceful. Everything is working together. There is life growing in abundance. And then they eat of this tree. Oddly enough, some people think fig tree because of what happens in the next scene. But they say, you know, they eat of this tree of good and evil, and they take from this tree, they have no forethought, and they just take it, and then immediately their eyes are open and they realize what they've done. Remember, the devil only has two tricks. He says, do it, do it, do it. And when you do it, he says, I can't believe you've done it, right? Those are his two tricks, okay? But so they realize what they've done, and they hide from God. And they sew together clothes for themselves made out of fig leaves. Now, I'm going to stop right here and say, I have cut off fig leaves this week. They shrivel within 30 minutes of cutting. These guys had no forethought and no designer sense when they were coming up with clothes. So they're hiding from God, and God comes to the garden in the middle of the day to walk with them in peace, and they're hiding from him. And so what happens? Andrew, did you like that one? Is that what you said? They're hiding from God. They're hiding. And God says, now you can't be here anymore. This was the one thing I told you to not do. You gotta go. You gotta go. Go out into this world. And I think they sense that sense that comes with sin, that God is not present. Remember, he puts up the wall. His angels guarding it. He's blocking them. They can't go home. They feel abandoned, and yet God tells them at that very moment when they're leaving the garden, I have a plan. There is hope. I will send one to save you and crush the head of the devil. There is hope, and yet they felt that sense of abandonment that sin is the only thing that can really bring. To understand this reading, you also have to go to Good Friday. You have to go to that moment somewhere around stations 12 and 13 when Jesus is nailed to the cross and he's experiencing this pain, this physical pain, but even worse, the spiritual pain of that moment. And remember, he knew what was going to happen at every single moment, and he still did it. And there is a moment on the cross when Jesus cries out from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken me. Because at that moment he was carrying every sin of every human being on earth. He felt what they felt in the Garden of Eden. He felt what we feel when we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We feel abandoned. We feel isolated and alone, and you just yell out, God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine one who has been so close to God that he and the Father are one? He says, I know my Father knows me. And all of a sudden he feels the anguish, the agony, the abandonment of sin. For the first time, he looks for God and he can't find him. To understand today's reading, we have to go to that moment of ascension. When Jesus gathers all of his disciples, resurrected Jesus comes back to life. He is born again. And we are born again in him, and we are brought up to that hillside, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. So go and tell. Go share Jesus. Go take those normal Christian behavior moments and talk about Jesus everywhere. And go and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And remember this, that I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am with you always. Do you see what that shift looks like? From being with God in the garden to feeling abandoned, to being on that cross with Jesus where he feels forsaken, to him covering up our sin and carrying the weight of all of our sins so that on the cross we are forgiven too, to now knowing the truth that in his resurrection, all authority is given to him, and yet, even still, he will never leave or forsake us. So now we get to this Good Shepherd reading, where he tells him about his character, his life, who he truly is. And he uses a word when he describes the hired hand. He says, a hired hand, when he sees something scary, will run away. These aren't his sheep. He won't lay down his life. In fact, he says, a hired hand will abandon them. The same word, by the way, abandon, is the same word that we use for forsaken when Jesus says, why have you forsaken me? He will not forsake you and me like a hired hand would. The hired hand, in fear of his own life, will run away. The good shepherd, in fear of the life of the sheep, for the life of the sheep, will remain and lay down his own life. Because he knows what it feels like to be abandoned. The weight of that sin, feeling forsaken. Jesus knows that feeling of loneliness that we have all experienced. When we feel all alone, abandoned, left out, left behind. I want you to think back for just a moment on the time you felt most alone this week, most isolated. And I want you to remember this, that you weren't alone. And not only were you not alone, but you will never, ever, ever, ever be alone again. In your worst moments, in your agony, in your hurts, in your isolating acts, even in your sin, you are never, ever, ever alone again, because he will not abandon you. Like every time I preach, none of this is new. None of it is new information. In fact, I had a professor once when I was in seminary that said, if you have a new revelation for what a Bible verse means, you're wrong. Because it's consistent throughout. And this is a consistent message throughout the Bible, that God is in the work of redeeming, bringing us home, restoring, and remaining with us forever. You are not forsaken, and you will never be abandoned. And I share this information because it's so easy to forget this. I can go into that Sunday school room, and if somebody has been here for one day, they know the right answer to the question when I say, who is with you forever? They'll say it, right? Jesus! That's the Sunday school answer. We all know it up here. But it's another thing this week when you are feeling alone and isolated, when you feel forsaken, to remember it in your heart that he will never abandon you. That's a promise of a good shepherd. No hired hand is going to promise this. And if they promise it, they're lying. He will never abandon you. You will never be alone again. Because he says, behold, I am with you always. And I love this promise from the 23rd Psalm. Surely, he says, this promise, because we always translate it, follow me all my days. I love this. He will pursue me all the days of my life. Not only is he with you, but we can't run away. We can't run far away enough from God. Because the Good Shepherd also reaches after that one missing, that one scared, that one alone. And he is reminding us over and over and over, I'm here. You're never alone. I will be with you forever, and I will never leave, forsake, or abandon you.